I learned as governor, when you try to implement too many things at once, it's harder and there's risk. However, the risk of not making these investments is much, much greater.
Hi, I'm Jim Doyle, President of Business Forward, and you're listening to the Business Forward podcast. Business Forward helps local business leaders fix Washington by bringing Washington to them. Subscribe to our podcast to hear conversations with policy experts, elected officials, and business leaders about important issues like climate action and affordable healthcare.
In this episode, Business Forward, Small Business for America's Future, American Sustainable Business Council, and the U.S. Hispanic Chamber of Commerce hosted a briefing with U.S. Secretary of Commerce Gina Raimondo for a discussion on the Build Back Better agenda. After a brief introduction and opening remarks, Secretary Raimondo answered questions on topics ranging from climate to workforce vaccination mandates. We hope you enjoy the conversation.
Hello, everyone. I'm Liz Fairchild, Executive Director of Business Forward. Today, we are delighted to host the U.S. Secretary of Commerce, Gina Raimondo, for today's briefing. We host these briefings to give small business leaders like you a seat at the table to learn more about how you can support the issues that matter to you most. We'd also like to thank our partners for engaging and inviting their membership, including the American Sustainable Business Council, Small Business for America's Future, and the U.S. Hispanic Chamber of Commerce. We've asked the Secretary to discuss what the components of the Build Back Better agenda and its key tax proposals mean for small businesses and local economies. Secretary Raimondo, thank you so much for joining us today. I'll hand it over to you.
Thank you, Liz, and good afternoon, everybody. It's a pleasure to be with you. Hopefully someday we can do this in person, but this will have to do for now. I'm anxious to get to the Q&A, but I will offer a few comments at the top. I will say that the entirety of the president's Build Back Better plan is designed to enhance America's business competitiveness. So, you know, everything in the plan really, I believe, will improve competitiveness for businesses, small businesses, medium-sized businesses, and large businesses. It's calling for big investments in apprenticeships and workforce development, job training, which I hear every day from businesses is essential. As our economy changes and we need people to have cybersecurity skills, digital skills, technology skills, technical skills, trades. So there's big investments in that. Big investments in basic infrastructure, roads, bridges, airports, broadband. 35% of Americans who live in rural areas in America don't have access to affordable high-speed broadband. You can't compete as a business if that's the case. Big investments in childcare and public pre-K. Millions of women are still not able to work or able to work full time because they either can't find or can't afford childcare. And that is holding our economy back. I'm sure many of you are frustrated not being able to hire. And so these investments will directly help you to be able to do that. They're big investments to help us meet the climate change challenge and create jobs, which I think is critical. And the president says when he hears climate, he hears jobs, same for me. And so there are investments here around that. And, you know, I would just say, you know, broadly, these are investments that should have been made a long time ago, that every other country in the world against which we compete has already made these investments. And it's time to make investments so American businesses and workers can compete and be more productive here and on the global stage. So that's a quick overview, but you know, happy to answer any of your questions.
Thank you so much, Madam Secretary. So when we talk to business leaders who support and advocate for some of those proposals you just outlined, they say they're having a difficult time answering questions on the larger agenda. I'd like to ask some of those tough questions they're hearing from their employees, their neighbors, and their friends. So the first one we have is, we just saw 7 million new hires last month alone, but we still have nearly an 11 million job openings nationwide. Have we been too generous with COVID relief? Are we paying people not to work?
Yeah, well, we're certainly not doing that now. I mean, the pandemic unemployment ended over a month ago. I think there were people who thought that when those extra checks went away, we'd see a rush back into the labor market. That didn't happen, which I think tells us that that didn't have a very big effect on folks. So I would say no. I mean, look, it is definitely true that during the period that we had the extra unemployment checks, that affected people's decision not to go back to work in low-wage jobs. So I think we wouldn't be honest with each other if we said that weren't a factor at all. But the reality is we know from the data that the much bigger factors are COVID. People are afraid to go back to work, especially in hospitality, waitresses, waiters, hotel workers. There's a high level of fear. Now that's going away as everybody gets vaccinated and you can see it. Like United Airlines, which was one of the first companies to come out and mandate vaccinations, they found a huge increase in the number of people applying for jobs after they started mandating vaccinations. They have 2,000 flight attendant positions open, they get 20,000 applications. So number one, we're gonna get people vaccinated. Number two, what I already said about childcare. It is a huge, huge issue. Women are not gonna go back to work or be able to go back to work or hold down full-time jobs or take promotions until we get more serious about our investments in childcare and also elder care. So, you know, no, I don't think that that is the biggest factor. I think some of these other factors are what we need to focus on.
Thank you so much. And we're gonna return back to the vaccination piece a little bit later. So I'd like to move to the next question we hear, which is that our network has heard from your colleagues about many of the different components of the Build Back Better Act itself. There's a lot to take in. Is the act trying to do too many different things at once?
Yeah, look, it's a really good question. And in the cabinet, in the executive branch, I've been an executive my whole life in the private sector and then the public sector as governor now here. You know, with this, it's definitely true that implementing and executing on so many different programs is going to be hard. There's no doubt about it. It will be difficult. And I think about that a lot. And I learned as governor, when you try to implement too many things at once, it's harder and there's risk. However, the risk of not making these investments is much, much greater. I worry so much more about what happens if we don't invest in our infrastructure. Our airports are lit. I mean, it's embarrassing how behind we are in our infrastructure. The stories about children last year who couldn't go to school because they didn't have broadband are heartbreaking. So we have to make that investment. Cannot delay anymore around apprenticeships and job training. People are falling behind. Businesses are falling behind. Can't delay anymore around childcare for the reasons I already said. So, you know, it's going to be harder to execute. We are prepared to do it. Already, you know, we're preparing. And again, I just think the much bigger risk is doing too little and leaving businesses and people behind.
Thanks so much. So I'm going to move quickly then to the next one, which is specifically about small business. What have business leaders said to you about paying high taxes, and what's your message to them? And then what do the tax reform proposals mean for those on today's call?
So look, I think that the tax proposals are largely good news for small businesses because the potential increases in taxes are on big companies and the revenue will be used to make investments that benefit everyone, including small companies. And if anything, small businesses should be happy that we're trying to close the loopholes that allow big companies to get away with not paying taxes. I mean, last year, dozens, 55 or more, very profitable, very large, some of the largest businesses in America paid $0 in federal corporate taxes. You know, big companies have ability to shield their profits in ways that little companies don't. So it's a negotiation. We're working with Congress. We certainly don't want to do anything that makes business uncompetitive. But I think that what we're proposing is responsible and levels the playing field, and I think will be good for small business.
Thank you. I'd like to continue then with tax incentives. So the act includes tax incentives for things like renewable energy and new higher standards for power plants. can we afford all of that?
Yes, again, I think that we can't afford not to do it. Climate change is here. Last year, the federal government spent $100 billion in 1 year on disaster recovery and relief due to climate. Some of the disruption in the supply chain we're seeing now is because factories have been shut down by floods and storms and severe climate events. So clean energy is the future. It will create jobs, create an enormous number of jobs, and we absolutely need to do it.
Thank you. So speaking of disruption, I'd like to move into the next one about how COVID has disrupted global supply chains for critical products, like semiconductors and components for electric vehicles. What do we need to do to get this right? And what's your role at Commerce going to be?
Yeah. So first, I want to acknowledge that this is real. It's hard right now. It's tough. It's tough for families. It's tough for businesses. These supply chain disruptions are significant. Prices are rising. And again, I don't want to sugarcoat it. I do think it's temporary. And we are going to see improvement, maybe not as fast as everybody wants. We just opened the ports 24/7. We're working with businesses, logistics companies. I've been spending an enormous amount of time in the semiconductor supply chain, trying to increase supply and transparency. So I think we will start to see relief. Why is it happening? I mean, it's happening because a year and a half ago, we did something we've never done before. We shut our economy down. You know, the auto industry stopped for a couple of months last year, stopped. All the employees went home, the factory shut down. They stopped ordering. It takes a while. That's very disruptive. And, you know, it's been just taking a while. A lot of states, a lot of governors stopped manufacturing for months. They said employees go home due to COVID. So you can't just turn on a dime and crank up production. What's the Commerce Department doing? We've done an awful lot and seen some success already with the lumber supply chain. We've gotten suppliers and consumers together. We're starting to see lumber prices go down. Very focused on semiconductors, as I said. What we need to do is make investments to incentivize the production of semiconductors in America. And so we're working to get Congress to pass the CHIPS Act. And then we at the Commerce Department will invest that money to stimulate the production of chips being made in America. We invented the semiconductor industry in America. Now we get 70% of our leading edge chips from Taiwan. We have to fundamentally reverse that if we're going to have jobs here and a resilient, stable supply.
I'd like to continue with something that we've heard in the news recently with Congress, which is despite the agreement in Congress to approve a short-term increase in the debt ceiling, the government still predicted to run out of funds in early December, so that's less than 2 months away. Why should business leaders care? And what can they do to support a long-term solution?
I'm shaking my head on this one because it's maddening. Look, I'm glad Congress came together on a short-term solution, but they need to have a long-term solution quickly. There's no reason for this. This is pure politics. The debt limit has been suspended or raised dozens and dozens of times over the past 20 years. It does not allow the administration to spend any new money. It just allows us to pay our bills, bills we've already incurred. And if we don't, markets will collapse, markets will crash. It very truly could plunge us into a recession if they weren't, you know, going to raise the debt limit. U.S. credit could be degraded. The world needs to know America has a functioning form of government and we're going to pay our bills. The president convened a group of the top banking CEOs a couple of weeks ago in the White House, and I was part of the meeting. And the meeting was, right, it was, I think, on a Thursday, right before Congress took the short-term action. And the CEOs of Bank of America, JP Morgan, Citibank were meeting that weekend to prepare for the horrible eventuality of the debt limit not being increased. And it was pretty bad results that they were preparing for. So I hope that businesses make their voices heard. This would be massively disruptive for our economy. at a time we're just getting back on our feet. And I suppose the most frustrating thing for me is there's no need for it. Like, stop playing politics, raise the debt limit, and let America pay its bills.
Thank you. Let's go back to something you mentioned before. Do you think the workforce vaccination mandate for businesses with more than 100 employees is good for business?
100%, absolutely. I don't think there's any room to argue that. Look, as I said earlier, just if you don't believe me, if you don't like my opinion, just look at the facts. Businesses that have mandated vaccines are having an easier time getting people to work for them. They are struggling less with worker shortages. Employees want to work in a place where they feel safe. People want to go shopping or out to dinner in places they feel safe. We want to take the guesswork out of it. You don't want to have to worry, are these people vaccinated? So these vaccines are effective, cheap, free, not even cheap, free, effective, easy to get, plentiful. Quicker everybody's vaccinated, quicker, you know, the economy will get going again. By the way, not to mention travel. You know, travel and tourism industry has been decimated. We got to get people traveling again, going to conferences again, going to trade shows again. Everybody needs to be vaccinated so we can do that.
Thank you. We have time for two more questions. So you've been heavily engaged in broadband. You mentioned it before already on today's call. Why do you believe it's so central to our competitiveness and economic growth?
Yeah, I mean, I think a couple of reasons. That our economy is becoming more digital every day. I think that's undeniable. No matter what business you're in on this phone call, your business is becoming more digital, more data intensive, and that means more broadband intensive. And especially if you're a small business, it's the smallest businesses that, you know, struggle the most without access to high quality, high speed, affordable, reliable broadband. But also it's an issue of equity, you know, just basic equity. Right now, if you're a person of color, if you live in a rural community, if you live in a inner city apartment complex for low income folks, if you live in a tribal land, you probably don't have broadband, which means kids aren't going to school, which means mom and dad can't get a job. And all of that is just bad for our competitiveness, bad for our workforce. And so I think it's important. It's not just the right thing to do. It's really fundamental to our competitiveness as a country.
Thank you, Madam Secretary. Before we go, we have one last question for you. We've had many business leaders ask for ways to support the proposals mentioned today. What do you recommend?
Just say, make your voices heard. You know, it's a lot of noise here in Washington, D.C. So you all are businesses in communities all over America, living this on a daily basis, struggling with, you know, finding labor, infrastructure, lack of broadband, employees not coming to work because of childcare, you know, whatever. Let your congressmen and senators know what matters to you. You know, they can play political football here with the debt limit. It's going to hurt you back home. It's going to hurt your business. So I would say, pick up the phone, send an email to your congressman, senator, and let them know what's going on in your life, and so that we can get some action. And I'm proud of President Biden. He's wide open to compromise. He hasn't said my way or the highway. The only thing he said is we need something big to happen. And so help, you know, I think something happening is really good for businesses. And if you could let that be known, and specifically let that be known as to how it will help you and your family and your business and your community, I think that does move the needle to cut through the noise.
Thank you. I know that you have a tight schedule. You're a very busy secretary. So thank you so much for your time and for joining us today and sharing your insights with the business leaders on today's call.
Well, thank you all. Thank you all so much, and thank you for having me.
If you're interested in speaking out on key components of Build Back Better, say talking to a reporter, reaching out to a member of Congress, or publishing an op-ed, our team can provide research help, media training, even help you pitch your op-ed to a local publication. And if you only have a few minutes to spare, I highly encourage you to share 4 to 6 sentences on how the components of the Build Back Better agenda would affect your business. We're collecting commentary and we'll share it with the administration, your elected officials, and local media on your behalf. So again, we are grateful to Secretary Raimondo for joining us and our partners on today's briefing, the American Sustainable Business Council, Small Business for America's Future, and the U.S. Hispanic Chamber of Commerce. Thank you for joining. We look forward to working with you again soon.
Thank you, everyone, for joining us. For more information on Business Forward programming, visit businessfwd.org. The Business Forward podcast is a production of Business Forward, hosted by me, Jim Doyle, produced and engineered by Alexi Lippman and Alex Pastanen. Thanks for listening. See you next time.